guys, welcome to Call Me Whenever. I'm Shivani.
And I'm Chinaza.
And yeah, that's our duo.
So today, guys, we have invited Bombay and Boston-based artist and creator Avanti to chat with us. Drawing inspiration from her background in Indian classical and soul music, Avanti thrives at the intersection of pop and soul. She is on a mission to create music that challenges societal norms and aims to reclaim the way young girls see themselves around the world. And Avanti has also spoken and performed at the United Nations, TEDx conferences. She's been nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role at the National Theatre Awards in India and has performed at venues and festivals across India, the US, and Southeast Asia. She also has over 180,000 subscribers on YouTube and 93,000 Instagram followers. We always gas our guests, Avanti, so just, you know, enjoy it, soak it up.
Soak it up.
And get this, fun fact, you guys, we were also classmates, even though I didn't know that, of course. I was like a sophomore. But Avanti graduated from Harvard and the Berklee College of Music in 2020. Welcome, Avanti. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for that very kind introduction. I never know what to do when somebody is, you know, especially being as kind as y'all. Like, do I look somewhere? Do I awkwardly smile? You know, so
you know, just flip your hair and own it.
Yes,
I did that.
That's what I've been doing.
All those things. So amazing.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. And yes, always, it feels so special when you're able to chat with fellow alum or students. Yeah. It's awesome.
I just have to ask before we get into our convo, like, what house were you in? This is like annoying Harvard stuff when they do like the Harvard intro.
Every Harvard like student, house. That's the question.
Totally. Yeah,
if you don't know, Harvard students, they have like this Harvard intro that like you get so used to saying that you say everywhere you go, like, hi, I'm Chinaza, I'm a rising senior, I'm in Lowell House, I'm from Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, and yeah, I'm so excited to be here today. That's the Harvard intro.
At this point, I know it, but I'm part of no house.
That means you're part of the best house, you're part of all of them, you can say that you know, belong to each and every one, and it depends on whichever person you're talking to, that is the best house. That is the key.
Thank you, Avanti. No, she got it. You the key to success. You can literally fake it.
Yeah, exactly. Just we'll throw in a couple street names and be like, yeah. I was walking down that intersection and you're
right. Absolutely. Prescott Street, something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Holyoke, I was there too. You could literally, honestly, Harvard security isn't that great. You could literally walk into any building and pretend to be a student.
I don't think you should be saying that.
I know, I shouldn't say that. But... Oh my gosh. I hope I don't get like an email tomorrow from like the provost being like, hey, we typically don't share that information.
They tighten up the security. You have to like scan everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So what house were you in? I'd love to know.
Yes, I was in Adam's house.
Oh, Adam's house, the best house.
Yes, the best house.
That's the secret. But Adam's house is the house for like creatives. So it's funny that you ended up there. Like people with talent typically, like that's the every house has a reputation. And that's totally Adam's right. That like
what house are you in?
I'm in Lowell.
Oh yes, you mentioned Lowell. Sorry. Totally.
That's
those
totally
introductions.
Fine.
No. Those introductions become so robotic that they completely. I was trying to figure out the spelling of the name of the town you grew up in, to be honest, when I was listening to your introduction.
No, it's okay. Our town name is unnecessarily long. And also, I agree with you. I zone out all the time with the Harvard intros. It's actually so bad. Like, I won't even remember someone's name. And then I'll just like have to start looking at them and making conversation. Like, you know that thing you do when you don't remember someone's name and you just totally try to lock eyes and be like, oh yeah, and act super friendly so that they think that you already know their name.
You're listening.
Yeah. You know, I had a trick which works in most cases, but sometimes it really backfires, which is, let's say you forget the person's name and you're friendly enough with them to say, I don't know, get their number or some contact information. I'd be like, oh, I'm just saving your number. Totally forgot. How do you spell your name? Right.
That and is that the works. Trick.
Yeah, but it works in most cases untold. Yeah. Your name is T-O-M, Tom. And
like
you're
Matt.
Just like,
yeah, exactly. You'd be like, I thought it was T-H-O-M.
Exactly.
A few years
like,
back.
I've met a couple Toms that are spelled differently. I don't know what to tell you.
How exactly. Was it spelled? Shivani? Was it actually spelled THOM?
Yes.
Yeah. I totally made that up.
And I've actually also met a few Toms that are TOMM. Like, I don't know why their parents, I think they just wanted to be unique. Right. So they added the extra M.
The extra M. I love that.
Well, lucky for us, we all have like standard like foreign names. So I'm sure that has affected us growing up. I'm not sure about you, Avanti, but I've heard Shivani's name mispronounced. I've heard my name mispronounced like more times than I can count.
It's funny because the folks who actually tend to mispronounce my name are either Indian themselves, which is really interesting because they'll try to get super. So my name is Avanti, or depending on the T, it's Avanti. But some people are like, Avanti, and they'll get super into it that way.
They get super desi about it.
They get super desi about it, which it doesn't necessarily need to be because that's not the name. And or there's folks who are usually in the US trying to respect my ethnic background. So I kid you not, I've been introduced at shows as, and up next we have Avanti Nagaral. And I'm like, what gave you the idea that that was my last name?
I'm dead.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I get it, but
that's so funny.
A plus, I think, for like, effort.
Yeah, right. I mean, I see like why, because like even your last name, like my last name's Shaw. So like you really can't mess it up. Like the worst you can do is say Shaw with like a W, which is like a Caucasian last name. But I think like with your last name, like Nagral, like I think like definitely a lot of people can take it
totally
like different ways, you know? So
totally.
It's gone
everywhere. I think once people get to my last name, they just look at me and they're like, all right, like, I tried the first half. You had me in the first round, second round, we're not doing this. Or they'll try,
I used to like mispronounce it. Like we're really close to like middle school best friends. And I used to say like
sweet.
I used to say it so different. Like, I don't even know what I used to say. And then one day, it was like 2 years later, I was like, Chinoz, am I saying your last name right? And she's like, no. I was like, why would you not tell me that?
Because it's exhausting. It's like the first name I'll try, but the second one, I'm just like, it's never going to come up in conversation. Like, how many times are you going to say my full name? The only time is when we're doing like, actually, it's almost never, unless you're talking to my mom and you're like, hi, Mrs. Asiebu, it never comes up. So I was just like, you know what? Let me just let it go.
That's so funny.
For, I'm sure they know, but for your podcast listeners, can you say the exact pronunciation so they are fully aware?
Oh, thanks, Avant. That's actually a really good point. Okay, my last name's Asiebu. The G is silent, so there is no G. So if you're interested. And there's also like an even more, if you want to be even more Igbo, there's like another pronunciation, but I won't go there.
Wait, I've been really
I'd love to hear it.
Hold on. My first name is, like, even my parents, like, we'll pronounce it Chinoza just for easiness, but like it's actually pronounced like Chinaza, so it's more, there's more intonation and stuff. But the reason why I pronounce it American like too is because it doesn't make sense to break the English like fourth wall every time you're trying to say something. So sometimes some Igbos will come up to me and be like, why don't you pronounce your name properly? And I'm like, listen, it's not because I'm not proud of my heritage or anything, but it's literally because like every time I'd say my name, I'd have to break like the English pronunciation to do it. I just don't feel like it. Like, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. I thought your last name was Asiegbu, so I've been still pronouncing it.
Oh, yeah, you have been. I was thinking that. Sorry, Shivani.
Love it. Okay. Wow. We're going to have a conversation about this after this pod. But yeah, I think like something that like I want to just like briefly like talk about, something that I found like really interesting is like, you know, you went to Harvard, you were here. Like, are you born in Bombay? Because I know you said you're Bombay based. So did you come to the United States for education, or did you come earlier? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm quite confusing in that regard. So I was I was born in the US, in Massachusetts, actually. And lived there till I was about 8-ish. And then I moved to Bombay. But I've always been back and forth. So when I lived in the US, I'd spend summers in India. When I lived in India, I'd spend summers and sometimes even winters in the US. At this point, I'm turning 24 in a few weeks. I've lived exactly 12 years in each place.
I love that.
So you're native. You're really, truly a native in both, you could say.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like people who are natives of both, but you can really claim that identity. Like I know people who have been like raised in one place. Like I know this one kid who is literally, he was born in the United States, I think, but then he moved to Rwanda when he was like 2. And this is like a white boy. He moved to Rwanda when he was 2. He lived there all his life and then he moved back and is now going to Harvard. So that was super interesting to me.
Wow.
Because I was like, so you're basically native there, but his family also like came here on the Mayflower. So it's just very confusing. In some ways, I'm like, maybe you're more African than me. I don't know, but you're also white. So I'm like,
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit, obviously, with this amazing, you know, description and bio that you have. You've kind of done it all in the creative aspects, but I definitely want to touch a little bit on like your music, because I found that so interesting. Especially as a Desi in the United States, I think that like we really try to like find artists that I wouldn't say like they kind of have like a little bit of both, if that makes sense. Like I think a good example, if you know, like Tesher is kind of like doing that where he has like those Desi like influences, but he does like, you know, a lot of times like sing in English, but then sometimes he'll bring in a little bit of Punjabi. Like, I don't know, he does a great job of it. So I think something I found so interesting is that you do that as well. You know, you have a few songs in Hindi and then you have a few songs in English. So like, how did you kind of like navigate through that?
I mean, that's a great question. I think that one is, you as an artist, you have to experiment, right? You're never going to find your voice literally and metaphorically in the first go. So it's all about figuring that out. But if you have been lucky enough to have had exposure, so my formal training is in Indian classical music, but I also went to a Christian high school. So I have a lot of choral music background and I've done theater. So it's very, you know, all over the place. And I think the things that connected all those experiences for me was definitely this aspect of soul that is in all of these forms, right? So I grew up singing a lot of devotional music, actually. And, you know, the thing that binds all of that together is that soul. And I think that is universal, regardless of language, regardless of expression.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Shivani knows I love soul music. I actually have a, like, playlist on my phone called like Chicken Soup for Chinoza's Soul, and it's just full of soul music. So I'm gonna add some of your music on that playlist,
actually. Oh my gosh, thank you. No, I truly I love that. And I think that the other thing that's always been important to me is I grew up with music as a passion, but I did not grow up wanting to be a singer. That was actually a much later in life, if you will, for our age, but, you know, later teens type of thing. Yeah, and honestly, only because I took a gap year and decided that I wanted to explore the creative arts in a way that I hadn't been able to full time while I was still in school.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I saw the beauty and power of music because it had been something that was personally healing for me. I've had a lot of health issues personally through my life, and music was the thing that got me through most of them. And also I saw its power at a larger scale. So, you know, I kind of went in, even when I was applying to college, I talked about my interests in music and the performing arts and in global health and social impact, because those were two things that were very close to me in terms of providing access, equity, and resources. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'd imagined when I was younger was, you know, doing something in that space and combining it with the arts. But as I started to find more of my voice as an artist, I realized that if I was lucky enough one day to have a platform in that regard, it could have potentially an even deeper impact, only because music then no longer is just the vehicle, but it also is something that connects to someone's soul, it connects to them emotionally. And when you're able to listen to a song and when you're able to connect with the person who's created it or just the song within itself, then that creates a totally different experience. That creates a totally different environment by which it seeps through at a deeper level. And so all of that backstory is just to say, I think I've been pretty intentional with my music. So right down to the messaging in it. also with how I portray the influences, I think there is scope for multilingual artists, right? And appealing to different spaces and places. I'm releasing an EP soon. By the time y'all listen to this, it might already be out. And
it'll be out. Listen to it on all the platforms, guys.
Please do that.
Yes. Great. I'm very excited for it. It's primarily in English because it needed to be cohesive in some regard, but there's one song that is bilingual and in a way that I think the Latin music industry has been able to very successfully do, but very few other industries have been able to. And I think it's important to start seeding that, right? Because we're so used to hearing other words, celebrating other languages. The world in some regards is, I mean, people could argue against what I'm saying, but in some regards, I would say our generation is becoming more empathetic and more tolerant and more open and accepting. And so it's important to me, regardless of the language, to have some piece of that representation, whether it's in the beats or whether it's in the way the melody is constructed or whether it's in the language or whatever it might be. And sometimes it's subtle, but I want it to feel like these things are accessible and not just something yes. that is exotic or foreign, right? Yes. So somebody who knows what it is will be like, oh, that's interesting. But if you don't know what it is, you know, it might be just something slightly different than what you're used to, but it's still permeating in a way that's accessible to you, that's pop to you, that's contemporary to you. So
I love that so much, because actually, I think I've even like talked to Chinaza about this, like the Latin community, like you said, they've done such a good job of kind of diving into the American like society, and like it's being widely accepted, you know, and it is bilingual. It's, sometimes it's not completely in Spanish. It's like, you know, Spanglish. Like it's in both, and it's done so well. And I think I've told all my friends, I'm like, this is like the time. And I, again, like not to keep bringing up Tesher, because I think he's still growing. Like he's not at his peak, but I think that he is a really good example. And like Mickey Singh, I think he primarily does focus on like Punjabi, but like, I think that those type of artists like you and some others that still are going to explode, I think this is like the time to kind of do what you're doing, because there's a whole population of Indian Americans, Indians back home, and everyone, they just want this new generation of music. Like, we don't want to just listen to like Bollywood. I mean, I love Bollywood songs, but like, we don't want to just listen to Bollywood songs that are like played in movies that don't even get complete recognition, because it's like the actors and actresses are kind of like performing it in the movies. But I think that it's so awesome that we're kind of like taking that kind of like move to kind of do it. Cause I think everyone loves Bollywood. Like I've never met a person that's like, oh, I don't like the song. Like the Chamma Cholo is like a hit at every club that you go to. So I think that it is a good time to kind of maybe try to like get into that space, because I think everyone loves it, you know? So I love
it. Totally.
And also it's so interesting that you brought up the Latin community, because what I was going to say was that Avanti, you really remind me of, I've been really into Selena recently. I've been into Selena since I was a little girl. Like I've watched that movie like probably 20 times since I was very young, before people were watching it in their Spanish classes. Like by that time I'd already watched it like 10 times, but you really do remind me of her, because what's very interesting, I think, is this kind of dual identity, like that a lot of us are experiencing as like immigrants, like whether first generation or second generation, like being Indian American, being Mexican American, being Nigerian American, and like recognizing that dual identity as an identity in itself, because I think that oftentimes we're told to choose a side, even in our creative preferences. It's like, are you going to be American or are you going to be Nigerian now? Like, is this a like, I'm even like, there being a niche for that in itself, like, is this song an Indian song or is this an American song? You have to choose a side. And when I was watching Selena, she kind of reminded me of you, because she grew up actually, like, she was a Mexican American, but she grew up in Texas. She didn't even speak Spanish until much later in her life, but she was singing primarily Tejano music like her whole entire life, because like, even though she wanted to be singing English music, like she was raised on Tejano music, and she had to like appeal to that crowd. But throughout her whole entire career, she was very adamant about wanting to expose like Mexicans also to American music and kind of blend the art forms. And then later in her life, she was able to kind of do that very successfully. And Americans started listening to Tejano music, and Tejano, like, people started listening to American music, and there was this beautiful fusion of like culture and expression that was like deepest rooted in like kind of just soul and like the actual like rhythms and beats of the music. And I think that that's so important and special. And I see a lot of those same themes in the work you're doing. Like, you're not confining yourself to a box. You're really letting yourself like be who you are and let that be expressed in the music. And instead of people being like, oh, I don't know where she necessarily falls, like who she's catering to, you're just like, I'm making music and the right people are going to listen to it. And you're creating your own brand for yourself, which is, I think, timeless. That will definitely stand the test of time.
Thank you. Firstly, that's a very kind comparison. And I'm very honored. I think, you know, one thing that's been really interesting is for a while I was confused, right? Similarly, as you're saying, because folks try to put you in labels. And especially if you're doing something that's creative, firstly, you're in any case confusing to most folks, right? Mm-hmm. And then you add on to that, okay, you've gone to a place of well-known higher education. Why? Yeah. If you want to do this, right? And then there are all of these elements that were very confusing. And one thing that actually I think has helped me and it's shifted my perspective is this past year, in addition to, of course, music, I've been doing a lot of other kinds of content as well, primarily around the education space or kind of having conversations around certain taboo topics when making them fun and accessible and, you know, and realizing that a lot of young folk, a lot of my audience, if you will, they're very young. They're between the ages of 13 and, you know, 21, I would say, and primarily South Asian based, but there are folks who are across the diaspora and also from different backgrounds culturally. And I think that because younger audiences, because Gen Z today is exposed to so many things, this idea of some form of celebrity or some form of artistic form that is, you know, unknown to them is no longer something that's inaccessible, right? It's something that today you can find out so many details about a person which you never were able to in the past. And I think that, you know, being a creator, if you will, has taught me that, you know, it's okay to show all of these sides of you. And if people don't understand it, that's their loss. But I was so surprised as to how people want to know the holistic you. They don't just want to know your voice. They want to know, okay, what else do you care about? What time do you go to bed? And it's not just the like, personal intrusive. Yeah, who are you? It's not the personal, like, just the personal intrusive details, but more just like, what do you care about? What do you stand for? And I honestly always was of the belief that I had to first have a larger presence or a bigger brand name for my voice to matter in that regard. But I think it's been really reaffirming to see that folks care about what you care about. And in fact, if you start having those conversations, you know, early on, it extends into everything that you do and people see it as an extension of everything, your music, your content, your life, what you stand for, you know, so.
And sometimes that helps you find like the audience that you're looking for too, because you could be doing like the videos that you're doing to educate. And you might grab like a 13, 14 year old girl that's confused or doesn't have that like woman in her life that now, you know, you're that role model. And then she, you know, explores your music and finds even more support, you know, because I'll be honest, like you have a lot of actually like singles like out right now. Mm-hmm. And of course you have your EP coming out. But there was only one song that I really like clicked on because I saw it was in Hindi and it was Suntolo. Sure. And I was like, oh, like I clicked in. I was like, this is so different because it isn't pop, it's soul. Like you said, it was like you really like you could feel, I could feel like you were next to me, and not to get all cliche and everything, but I could feel like you were like next to me, like, you know, like actually like talking to me rather it just being like the beat, or like rather it just being kind of like something that you're kind of like grooving to. It felt like more of a message like you are trying to do. So I think that that's such a good perspective, because you don't know where your audience is going to come from. Like you said, in this day and age, it's not just music. It's like you could do like a million things, and that's how you're going to get your audience, and they will love your music once they like explore who you truly are. So totally. I love that.
Thank you. I have a question. As like someone who doesn't speak Hindi.
Yes, of course.
What does that mean?
It means listen, right?
It essentially means listen. And the song is, so that song in particular is a song alluding to mental health. And essentially the message is listen, please listen, and listen without judgment. And I use this call and response technique in it, where it's like, the words sintulo, sintulo are constantly in the chorus. And then there's all of these societal responses you'll get, right? So there's like, lo kya kahenge, which means what will people say? Then it's like, muskura ke dekho, which is like, try smiling, you'll be all right. Yeah. You know, things that society will throw at you when all they should really be doing is listening, you know?
I love it. That's why it really hit me deep, because, you know, this pandemic has really just been,
Yeah. So,
I think that was a really, and I think it was one of, at least on like Spotify, I saw that was like a song that really like took off for you. Like, I think a lot of people felt the way that I felt when I was listening to it, where people connected to you and people connected to what you were saying. And I think I love that you're definitely, you know, addressing, you know, the whole mental health aspect of like, just desi society, and not even desi society, society in general.
Global society.
Let's expand that, because I love how you're not only just using like your other platforms, like your YouTube or your Instagram, but literally woven in the music is messages. And I think one person who did that, I'm comparing you to all these greats, because you are yourself going to be one of those greats. Like, I have no doubt in my mind, like Michael Jackson, like so much of his music, like touched on a lot of issues, like of him being a peace advocate, like with Heal the World and like Man in the Mirror, like, and even We Are the World, like shedding light on all these other issues and really using his platform to do great things. Like, I feel like you're doing the same thing, because in a lot of cultural spaces, like while I do love my Nigerian culture, there's certain things that we haven't gotten to yet, because I think that there's so many pressing issues already existing in terms of like food insecurity and home insecurity that like we don't necessarily even, we're not even at a place where we can start talking about like mental health and like all these issues, because we're like, oftentimes it's more so we don't even have basic needs and we're going to talk about mental health. Like, if you have those basic needs, 100%. Then you should be fine. Like, I feel like that's more of the logic around a lot of these topics. Like, why, like almost like what your song is about, like why are you even having these conversations? Like, why are you even asking that? Like, we provide food on the table for you. Like, you should be okay. Like, I think though in cultural spaces, like in probably Desi households and in Nigerian households, and I know a lot of other cultural spaces like that, those are all things that are kind of underrepresented and not really talked about.
That's such an insightful point. Also, my roommate and one of my closest friends from college is Nigerian, and so
I love that.
Definitely. Wait, I might actually know
seen
her.
And heard some of the cultural similarities. Oh, you do?
I don't know, but I might know her because like Nigerian Students Association and everything. What's her name?
Yeah, so her name is Sandra Ojiapuru.
I do know Sandra.
Yeah, yes, oh my gosh.
That's a small world. Like, that's so crazy.
She's the best.
She's so sweet.
I mean, her parents immigrated from Nigeria, but she's such a sweetheart. It's actually her birthday on the 8th. So it's all.
Happy birthday, Sandra.
Happy belated birthday.
She graduated,
Sandra.
But happy belated. Such a small, I love
by
that.
The time this is coming out, it'll be belated. But happy
another
birthday.
Indian Nigerian friendship. Honestly, I'm going to start marketing them. They're the best.
Yes.
They are.
They really are. They really are. And, you know, what you said, I think, was so. So on point, because one thing that was really overwhelming for me with that release, we made sure that we partnered with a lot of mental health organizations. I studied psychology in college as well. So I had, access. Yeah. So I had access to a network of folks, and we set up these relationships to provide, for example, codes to access subsidized or free therapy, because a lot of young folks cannot access it, right?
Yeah,
or
that's so true.
Group sessions, listening spaces. And we were so overwhelmed as to the incredible need. If you go and see, there's two video assets for that song. There's one which is a music video, and then there's one that is this video of a lot of Gen Z creators that came together and kind of just shared for that message. The kinds of outpouring people have done in the comments, sharing their life stories, what they are dealing with, what they are struggling with, and how they feel like they are not seen or heard, is firstly insane. But beyond that, the fact that they feel most comfortable sharing that on a stranger's public platform, as opposed to in their own homes with their own friends and with their own families, is just really what blew my mind. And, yeah, you know, just seeing the needs for those safe spaces. Do y'all by any chance know what Discord is?
Yes,
of course.
Discord.
Yes. Okay. Discord is cousin. The best, honestly. So we have a Discord server of, I think it's over 10,000 now, and wow, they're super active. Yeah, I love it because it's a space that you can truly customize to your own self. And mm-hmm, for us, our mission is, it's really important and really intentional to create that safe space. And so we regularly have those conversations. We bring in a lot of licensed therapists to do sessions, answer questions. And
that's wonderful.
We didn't want it to feel like it's just a song release. We wanted it to feel like it's something that is, you know, beyond part that of this larger. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, for the EP that's out for those of you listening.
Hey,
listen to the EP, y'all. Clapping. Listen to the EP. Thank you.
Called Double Standards.
Exactly. It's called Double Standards, and it explores themes like double standards in society, stereotypes, consent, celebrating your body, and, you know, railing, yes, against this idea of imperfection, and just all of these themes that many of us want to talk about. But like you said, in certain cultural spaces, it feels like, okay, but why is that an issue? You have food, clothing, mm-hmm, and shelter. What are you complaining about? You right know, whereas those things that really get at your self-esteem, that get at your interpersonal relationships, they matter, and they matter more, yeah, than people can think and understand.
One of the things I love about you is just like, music isn't where it begins and ends with you. And I know that this industry that you're entering into and you're still like going through and moving in is very much like an industry that tries to box in, who tries to make money where it can and be like, okay, like this is what you're gonna be. But you're really being authentic and you're doing what music was meant to do, which is heal people and to give people an escape, but also an opportunity to feel understood and reflected, their stories be reflected through your music, and to, you know, see themselves through the music. I think music is always, I believe music is spiritual. It's always been, I think it activates something in the soul that like, I don't think any really other thing can do. Like it goes down to even when we were younger and my mom would be like, you can memorize the lyrics to this Nicki Minaj song, but like, do you know the elements of the periodic table? Like something like that. And I'm like, well, it's different. Yeah. Like, it's not the same thing. Like music is different. So yeah, I just wanted to take this last like couple minutes to, you know, just like have you talk about your EP, like have our listeners, you know, we want to expand your platform as well. It's so wonderful. And you know, even every single episode we do like a little sample of a song, like usually throughout the episode, like I think of a song and I sing it. I'm not singing today. I want you to sing because you can actually sing. Like if you could give us a little sample of something, it doesn't have to be, we'd love to hear a sample of your EP. It doesn't have to be your EP. It could be any song you want, but we'd love to hear you.
No, thank you. That's really kind of you. What I can do is I can sing a couple lines of the song we were talking about earlier, especially yes, given the diversity of your listeners. And then for the EP, maybe y'all could play a small clip of one of the songs at the end.
Oh, that wonderful. Could be
cool. As long as you don't copyright us, we will put it in.
I will not. I got you. No, I totally understand. Firstly, thank you so much, firstly, for reaching out and having this conversation. I have really enjoyed speaking with both of you, and I'm all here for the Indian-Nigerian friendships. But beyond that, yes, I'm also here for, you know, talented young women who clearly have so much to give to the world and think about things like the intersection of culture and the arts education so deeply and intricately. So thank you for having me and holding space with that.
Of course.
And with regard to the EP, like I mentioned, it briefly covers these, but I'll tell you super quick, it's 4 songs. And the way that I would describe it is coming of age empowerment pop, if you will. So all of the songs have different, and I think it's, you know, as somebody who is in their early 20s, I think, you know, it gives you a little bit of distance from your teenage self, but you are still close enough to realize what a turbulent time adolescence is, you know, and so trying to create to that. And so the 4 songs on it, the first one's called Jealous, and it's truly just a song about FOMO, which many of us experience, and the jealousy associated with that, whether that's in a relationship, a friendship, or something of that nature, and just experiencing those emotions. The second song is called Imperfect, and that song is really about celebrating your whole self. And when I say your whole self, I mean that there are folks who will attempt to point out things as flaws or as imperfections within us. But I think it's really important to reclaim imperfect as I'm perfect and recognize that there's no such thing as, you know, perfection, but just the way in which you define it. Mm-hmm. The third song is called Permission. And that was definitely the hardest to write, but the most fun, I think, because it's a song about consent. And much of the, you know, pop culture around consent is either very preachy or very like, it's catchy, but it's no means no. And I think that alienates a lot of folks who don't understand it or who feel like it's being thrown at them. And so we really wanted consent to feel sexy. And so the song is, it has a sexy vibe. Every single person I've played it to has said that they want to add it to their sex/bedroom jams playlist.
Can't wait for that.
And we created it with that intention where it felt like something you could, you know, enjoy yourself to, but also have that message kind of seeping through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
You know, so I hope y'all enjoy it. And then the fourth one is called Double Standards. That is the Hinglish track, as you mentioned Spanglish earlier. So this
is in English. I love that Hinglish. We're making that a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And there's these particular phrases, one of which is caught on the internet. There is a phrase that I say in it called Chalhat. It's caught on even before the release, which is really cool. Chalhat essentially means bye-bye. And yeah. Or it could be a more aggressive form of bye-bye. But the idea is to say,
like, get out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The idea is to say chalhak to all the stereotypes in society and to all the double standards holding us back, whether they are based in gender or age or anything else. So that's really what it's about. And we wanted it to feel like it was fun and empowering and, you know, something you could enjoy to, whether that's you going on a drive or whatever, however you like to consume your music and have fun with it and still hopefully, you know, resonate with some of the themes, see yourself in it, or maybe use it to educate your future partner, your friends, whatever it might be.
I love that. I think all four of them have so much potential, honestly. Like, you've kind of, you know, done a great job of kind of like figuring out like the main themes of how you want your EP to go. And I love that how you're incorporating pop into it. So it's not like preachy, like you said. That's so, that's actually very, very smart, because you know how this industry works, you know, like who's going to be consuming what. So that's really smart.
It's diverse and cohesive. Like you play with all of these different elements and styles, but you also know it's one EP. It has a strong message, and it's going to be timeless. Like I'm saying that like right now, like there's so many, I think music, obviously they try to put people in boxes often, and oftentimes those boxes are nice, but you're really, I think timeless artists know how to go within genres and thrive in them all, and also make people feel seen and feel like they're not hearing the same thing, and that there's so many aspects of you, which there are. So I can't wait to hear you sing this.
So girl, let us hear some of those lines. Like, I cannot wait.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I guess since we've been talking about the EP, I was going to sing Sundalo, but people can check that out. Since we've talked about the EP, I'm just going to do a couple lines of Permission, because I want you all to see what I'm talking about. It may sound a little odd with the double audio, but hopefully y'all enjoy it. Let me see if I can pull up something to have it sound.
A sneak peek. I love it. And this is the pop one, right? Like, it's the jammy one. Oh, it's the sexy one.
Oh, yes. It's the sexy one. Exactly.
Y'all guys, you guys already know. Listen to Call Me Whenever for this exclusive content. Like, that's all I'm saying. You already know that, like, this is...
It probably won't be exclusive when this is actually released. But...
Yeah, it's not exclusive anymore, but just know it's exclusive.
But it's okay. They didn't get the person singing it for them right in front of them, you know?
Exactly.
This is live, guys.
Okay. I'm going to see what works with...
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what works with this audio. Just give me a thumbs up if you can, once it plays, of course. Can you hear this track?
Yes. Yeah.
The tension is so strong. Oh, I wanna go there. I can say it and you won't stare. Now, yeah. Let's go to the first row. Show your daddy he touched you. Consent is the real cool. We can speed it up or slow it down. No more circles, no more going around. Give you the green light and say it loud. If you want it, just say you want it. Come and get my permission. Ooh, you don't gotta be so shy. Hey, we'll mess up the rhythm. Ooh, we'll be feeling just right. And my body's getting heated. Just ask and you'll receive. I'll ask you too if you're mine. Come and get my permission. Ooh, you don't gotta be so shy. Tell me what's on your mind.
Oh yes,
I love that. Wow. Oh, I'm so excited to listen to this EP even more.
I love
now.
It. Consent is cool, guys. Consent is cool.
Exactly.
I love it. And I see what you mean. I see what you mean with, like, how you kind of, like, played with the words too. Because obviously, like, you're not being preachy. You're not, like, kind of, you're not, you're also not being, oh my God, I forgot the word, but you're not being kind of, you're not shying away from the topic of, like, sex or, like, the topic of having a sexual relationship. You're kind of, you're still saying those things, but you're also incorporating that, hey, with permission. Like,
it's exactly. It's bold, it's sexy, it's fresh, and it's new. You guys, please, please, please check it out. Like, go straight from wherever platform you're listening, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, go straight from here. to Avanti's EP, and please, please give like, I'm giving you guys permission.
Well, now we're over. Sorry. Now we're over. Okay, I'm dead. Yes. Okay, guys, so to wrap it up a little bit again, like, thank you so much, Avanti, for giving us the time and letting us, you know, just take a little bit of a deep dive into your story and how your EP is, you know, how it was created. You guys can follow Avanti on Instagram. It's Avanti Nagral, AvantiNagral. It'll be in the bio, guys, so don't worry about
Everything will be there.
We'll put the Spotify links and the Apple Podcast links. Also, follow her on YouTube. I believe it's Avanti Nagral, right? On YouTube.
Is that everywhere? Yes.
Yes.
Subscribe,
so,
follow.
Thank you again. And now let's do a little bit of pubbing for our own podcast.
Yes.
So, follow us on Call Me Whenever Podcast on Instagram. You already know we're on all platforms, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe. Give us a review. Let us know what you thought about this interview. Give us 5 stars. And as always,
call us whenever. Bye, guys. Love you.